Houston, and welcome to the Houston Indie Media Show. Tonight, we're going to hear from Ashton Woods from Black Lives Matter Houston. Then we'll let you know about the upcoming Bernicrats reunion next year in Dallas.
Hey guys, this is your boy Ashton P. Woods, co-founder of Black Lives Matter Houston, co-chair of the Black Humanist Alliance under the American Humanist Association. I'm also the founder of the Strength in Numbers Project, a new nonprofit that will be focusing on the Black LGBTQ community. I also have a blog called Strength in Numbers as well, so check me out online when you get a chance.
So tell us about what Black Lives Matter Houston has been doing in light of Trump's election and about tomorrow's protest.
No, what we've been doing in light of Trump's election, actually, we haven't done much. What we're more concerned about, aside from anti-Trump protests that we have held in recent past, we're actually more concerned about right here at home, Houston and the state of Texas. We have a legislature that will be starting on January 10th. So I, along with other organizers, some other organizations, will be and have been in Austin, Texas, lobbying state senators and state house reps to not pass bills that will hurt the Black community, bills that will hurt the LGBTQ community, because intersectionally speaking, both will hurt each other anyway, because you can be Black and LGBT and vice versa. One example of that is a bill that Senator Whitmire filed, Senate Bill 273, which would require the state to put directions for ninth graders on how to interact with the police. And
wow.
We think that that could be a dangerous precedent for the state, especially since this is the same legislative session, the 85th, where Governor Greg Abbott is pushing a Police Protection Act, labeling any type of harm and verbal abuse towards a police officer as a hate crime. So we have work to do right here at home. We have work to do because we now have an officially new police chief, Chief Acevedo, who has come out and said that he wants to streamline body cameras that and change them to cameras that automatically turn on upon exiting a police cruiser. But again, we're more concerned about policy on a local level. We are fully aware that the state has the final word and mandate on how cameras are regulated. But it is also and should be known that Ray Hunt and the Houston Police Officers Union has a very strong hold on many elected officials here in Houston and in the state legislature, because so goes Houston, so goes the state of Texas. A lot of people need to understand this. And right now we're in a position of power because we just got a new district attorney by the name of Kim Ogg and the sheriff, Ed Gonzalez, who is into the community, and while we don't trust police, at least working within the system that we wish didn't exist, we're still working within a system that affects people. So the best way to affect change is to change the people who are in control of the policy. So with that said, body camera policy is important, and that means that we have to lobby the city hall, specifically Mayor Turner, because we have a mayoral form of government. And nothing gets on the agenda without his approval. And making sure that we lobby, again, the state house and Senate members to regulate or at least change the law so that cities can better regulate themselves when it comes to body cameras. So that's what Black Lives Matter Houston will be involved in, has been involved in, and will be involved in even more so in the coming months of the legislative session. We're also going to be doing a lot of health initiatives, one with a focus on HIV, destigmatization, and, of course, women's rights. And we will be supporting the indigenous and Latino communities as well, because in light of Trump's election, and regardless of it, we have an issue. We have an issue of not just the Latino community, but communities of color in general who are dealing with the loss of the friendly immigration policies while at the same time dealing with a very aggressive Obama administration. Because we have to remind ourselves that President Obama, under his watch, has deported more people than Bush or Clinton, ironically. So I'm thinking it's going to get exponentially worse, and I'm also concerned about DACA and how that's going to affect folks who are benefiting from that program. I mean, it's just so much. that we will be combating and targeting. But I want to say that tomorrow, before I forget, we're actually having a protest at 5:30 at Market Square Park. It is an anti-Trump protest, but it is also a Black Lives Matter protest. But the mistrial of the Walter Scott case, of the police officer who killed him, so many others, Philando Castile is still on my mind. There's so much going on. Elva Brazil. It's a lot of people and names that we will be uplifting, and we will be protesting all injustices, not just the election of Donald Trump, because he is not the end-all, be-all. We survived under multiple presidents. Black people survived slavery. We survived a lot of things. We will survive Trump. The real test is that we have to now combat people who are just coming to the table, who should have been at the table with us, telling, you know, helping with their privilege and their power, hey, something's not right. So now all of the comfortability that has existed is gone, and now people have to do actual work. So I want to say to you, welcome to the club.
So in the last week, the Texas ACLU sent a letter to Houston Chief of Police Art Acevedo, stating that they would now have a presence and have legal observers at upcoming demonstrations. What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts on it is I'm very thankful for any help that will come from anybody, as long as the help is not interfering. I don't see the ACLU as an interference. It's a great partnership with the ACLU of Texas, and we're looking forward to continue that work. I just wish other organizations would step up as well, because the ACLU can't do everything at all times, but at least they're following a template that, as an organizer with Black Lives Matter Houston, I've always followed, and that's, if you're going to have a protest, you're responsible for people. You're responsible for people's safety, whether you know it or not. You can't save everybody's lives and et cetera, but if you're organizing something, be aware of what could happen. The anti-Trump protest that we had recently, a few people got arrested, and they happen to be people who organize, who set up protests, who lead, who march, and galvanize people to a common cause, much like myself. And it was very interesting, to say the least. So, and I bring that up because the ACLU was very quick to respond to that. They at the time didn't have legal observers out, and it was just a perfect recipe for disaster on our end, but a perfect recipe for aggressiveness on HPD's end. So I think that those of you listening out there, you should always know that if there are no legal monitors at a protest and you don't know who the organizer is, start asking questions. Always have 2 points of contact, just in case you do get arrested and your freedom of speech is violated, because it is a responsibility of the organizers to make sure that you are okay and to make sure that whatever precautions that need to be taken are taken.
That's good advice. HPD has typically, during demonstrations, targeted and arrested those that they perceive as leaders. And it's nothing new for them to point out people and say things like, next time I see you, I'll arrest you, and then arrest them later. So why do you think now the Texas ACLU is stepping in?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. They have been with, I can't speak for other protests. I can only speak to the protests that I've organized as an activist, along with my fellow co-organizers of Black Lives Matter Houston. We have not had anybody arrested until that moment. We have not reached that level of disruption by police officers until that moment. We've always complied and organized within the law, which is why it was hard for them to do things. But the reality is that they put us in a position where there was only one way to cross the street by Market Square Park because of construction. And they deliberately blocked that intersection off. So no, it's not okay to just generalize that they've typically targeted. And I'm not attacking you, by the way, but I'm just saying it's not okay to generalize that they typically target leaders, because I haven't seen it until that moment. And what was crazy about it is that they were exceptionally abusive at the same time. I expect all of that from them. I'm not surprised by it, much like yourself. But the truth of the matter is that this was the perfect setup for them, because there are generally people there who make them pull back and make them less aggressive. The way that they used those horses, the way that they handled everything was just ridiculous. And I mean, I know you said I could cuss, but I'm trying to be good today. the bigger deal for me is that we're not afraid of them. And I think that they need to know that. And there's something, you know, something we did to prove that point is we marched right into their living room. We went right to HPD's headquarters after those arrested place. And we stood and rallied in front of their building. A good deal of time, actually. So, I mean, I expect those types of things to continue happening, which is why I gave the advice I gave, because I feel like it is the responsibility of the organizer, regardless of who you are, to try to make sure you have people in your corner who will be able to mobilize and raise money for bail, at least have contact with at least one or two lawyers who are willing to help, because people are watching. And there's a difference now. Had I not been live streaming when I was, it was from my phone. And I want you to think real hard about that. Had I not been live streaming like I was, I think that some of the narrative that we have, and when I say narrative, our own voice without the media distortion, we wouldn't be having this conversation. They would be under the jail, they would be guilty, blah, 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 blah. But we now know that via video evidence from my phone and from other folks that this wasn't the case, that we were clearly put into a corner. And I fully expect that they will do it again.
Would you like to set the record straight or comment on some of the lies being perpetrated by mainstream media about demonstrators, for example, that people are punching cop horses?
I'd like to set the record straight. Actually, the media has tried to be fair about this. I will give them credit, most of them. But with the way the initial story came out, no, Sheree Doar did not punch a horse. No, Sheree Doar does not abuse animals. Sheree Doar goes out all the time downtown and other places, other areas of Houston, and she takes care of the homeless population. She's an outstanding person, in my opinion, and she's been in my corner and I've been in her corner. And the fact of the matter is that she did not hit a horse. And the other person, who I will not name because his case is still pending, did not hit a horse. These people did not hit horses. If anything, if a police officer is coming at you with a horse's ass to your face and you damn near getting trampled, you're going to move back and you may put your hands up in a gesture to stop. But no fist was closed and no animal was harmed. I'm not sure how you can harm a Clydesdale who is exponentially larger than who you are, but, you know, HPD, nice try. So some of the lies that have been told, we know they're lies. The fact of the matter is that they're trying to silence activists. We already know that under Donald Trump that there will be a police state, but we've already been under a police state for years. He's not doing anything that already hasn't been done. He's just making it easier for them to pull the shit they've been pulling. That's what he's going to do when he gets sworn in 35 days from now. He's not the president yet. The president right now is President Barack Obama. What is he doing? We talk about Trump, Trump, Trump. What about this Congress? What about the city council? What about this mayor? What about people who are currently elected? What are they doing? What is on their agenda? That's what I need to know, and that's what we need to be talking about.
Do you have anything else you want to say about the new Houston Chief of Police, Art Acevedo?
Well, I actually proactively went to HPD and asked for a meeting with him. I fully recognize that I don't trust the police. I never will trust the police. But I understand that if I am to be a catalyst for change as an independent activist, and also my fellow organizers, Greg Chapman and Galen Bibb, and other activists as well from other groups who I work with, if we're to be catalysts for change, we have to work with people and be strange bedfellows with people we don't really care for, as far as positionality is speaking. So if we have someone who's willing to change the body cameras like that, we may have somebody who are malleable to changing policy. Like, for example, I sat on a panel with Assistant Chief Bearden on Houston Matters, and I kind of hammered away at the fact that, you know, yes, it's nice that you have a great quote-unquote behavioral policy for your officers under HPD, but your general orders are not public. You have to jump through hoops to get your standard operating procedures. And when you do get the standard operating procedures, you have to go through the rigmarole of paying for it and getting orders and all those other things. And then when you get it, most of it's blacked out. Most of it's redacted. Most of it's kept secret. And then if they unredact it, they immediately change the policy with what they have constantly. So there's no transparency here. How can you say that your behavioral policy is great if we don't know what your behavioral policy is? So as far as C-Grace Avedo is concerned, the jury is still out on him. I think that it was a good move to bring somebody from out of town, for sure, because it's a different lens to look through. Mainly because Montalvo, she was under McClellan. So you still have some McClellanism going on, and he wasn't the best police chief out there. And I think you would agree with me on that.
Can you announce the event one more time and maybe give some contact info for people that want to get involved?
I'm going to ask you guys to follow Black Lives Matter Houston on Facebook. That's Black Lives Matter Houston on Facebook. You can follow me, Ashton P. Woods, or Cherie Dorr on Facebook and Twitter. And what we're doing tomorrow is organizing a Black Lives Matter protest that has some anti-Trump principles embedded in it. But it is a Black Lives Matter protest to uplift the names of the people who have fallen at the hands of police officers. Again, it is also anti-Trump. But it will come out 5:30 at Market Square Park. 5:30 at Market Square Park tomorrow, Black Lives Matter protest.
All right. Thank you, Ashton.
My name is Christian Hernandez. I'm currently one of the co-chairs for the Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA, in North Texas, as well as the vice president of the North Texas Dream Team, which is an immigrant advocacy group. And I'm currently involved with ProGrexis, which is an up-and-coming media outlet for progressive news in the Texas area, and as well as a former Bernie national delegate, which is kind of where all this organizing originated.
So tell me first about ProGrexis.
So a number of my friends and I were kind of talking about the fact that there wasn't a lot of independent media out there that we could really count on to showcase a narrative that didn't have a very obvious bias or didn't have an ulterior agenda. You know, and that a lot of it has to do with who the owners are and kind of what message they're trying to convey. And so sort of to that respect, we decided, hey, maybe we should just kind of formulate our own thing and talk about news, talk about events, and write about protests and direct actions that were occurring all over the state to kind of show people that progressive stuff was happening in Texas, in such a state such as Texas. And first and foremost, that people were paying attention to it, and that there was a platform for all this progressive movement to have a voice. And then also really just to kind of keep that solidarity network going with progressives across the state. And so far it's been pretty well received. And we're currently actually doing a series of call-ins regarding the 1900 delegates for the Bernie Sanders campaign. And it's kind of been uplifting to see those profiles because we've been able to see what these delegates have been doing since then.
So tell me more about ProGrexis. Is it a website, and how can people learn more about it?
We have a Facebook page simply titled ProGrexis. That's been where we link a lot of our articles and we share events and other important news. But ProGrexis itself has a website, and that's just ProGrexis.com. And that's where everything is linked up to. We're kind of in a soft start, so to speak. We'll really be kicking off at the beginning of the year. And one of the features that I'm really excited about as far as making it interactive, and that's something that we sort of took from the Bernie pages, was a map with actions so that regardless of where you were, you'd be able to see what different actions were available in your area. If you had, you know, a free day or a free weekend and wanted to do something with that time that was advancing some type of progressive ideal or some type of cause that was really important to the movement. Right now at the moment, what we're really focusing on is getting a lot of good progressive voices into the website, whether as a content contributor, or just featuring you, or making cameos, especially for those who are running for office for the first time, because we're really interested to see the up and coming leadership in Texas. But we do have a way on both our website and our Facebook page that you can click on a link that says become a contributor. We're definitely always taking those people in mind as far as getting them to write articles about things that are happening in their community that might not be picked up by the mainstream media, but that are things that really need to have a platform and a voice to talk about those issues.
Okay, so tell me about the reunion. You know, I guess starting with the basics about where, when it's going to be.
Okay, so a group of us, mostly made up of former Bernie delegates, had decided that we really wanted to create an event where we could all come together and talk about the things that we were doing post the Bernie campaign. Because a lot of us chose to go in various directions as far as taking the quote political revolution to actualization. So we're hosting the first ever Bernie reunion, and it'll be in Dallas, Texas, the weekend of January 6th and 7th. And we'll start it off with a kickoff mixer. That's just kind of, you know, networking and getting back in touch with a lot of people that we either met in the convention in Philly or outside of it, you know, people who went as protesters, or even people who went to the state convention, because we did meet a lot of people there as well. And on Saturday, we actually have a full day of sessions where we'll be discussing different issues that are relevant on a local and a state level, and kind of looking at the different ways that we can approach aligned action throughout our state and throughout our cities. A lot of us, you know, in Dallas, we're fortunate to where we have a lot of support, and we have a really strong network of Bernie-crats, as we call them. But there are other areas, you know, like in the Panhandle area and, you know, down near the Rio Grande Valley area, where the people are a lot more spread out, so it's a lot harder to find that support. But looking at ways that we in DFW can help out different cities and vice versa. So we'll have another session regarding the upcoming Texas legislative session, kind of looking at what different bills are up for consideration and seeing what we need to highlight, what we need to disperse information about. And we'll also have sessions that are specifically geared towards people that are taking certain actions within this movement. We'll have a session regarding running for office, because we have had a lot of Bernie-crats, you know, step up to the plate and decide to run, not just on a local level, but, you know, some at the state level as well. And we'll have one for people that are interested, particularly in creating that movement within the Democratic Party. And also for those that are really not adamant about being politically minded in the, I guess, conservative sense, but more so looking at being an activist or an organizer in their communities, and seeing how we can help with resources and networking to make sure that those organizing efforts are kind of fulfilled in the best way possible.
Are there any ride shares?
We're looking right now at what people are interested in and where they're coming from, but we already have a lot of people from pretty much all over the state. We have offered up housing from, you know, DFW Bernie-crats who are willing to open up their homes. We have a lot of ride shares that are being coordinated in different cities. And we've also offered up free childcare for the event for those who are unable to travel without their kids, so that there really isn't any rhyme or reason why people wouldn't be able to attend other than if they have work obligations. We are charging tickets. We have small ticket prices for those that, you know, aren't able to afford it. We do have a number of sponsored tickets, And most of these tickets are just covering, you know, the basic logistical costs. And anything that's left over, we'll probably end up donating. But we're going to let, you know, the entire group decide where that money goes. But as of right now, it looks like we'll be pretty much using every cent that we've gathered.
So tell me about Julie Nitsch in Austin.
So Julie Nitsch was a Bernie delegate for the National Convention who was running for the Austin Community College Board. And she actually went into a runoff against another person who was previously on the board who had actually stepped down. And then when Julie decided to run, kind of re-stepped back up to run against her. So we definitely had an uphill battle as far as getting Julie into that position. She, even though she had numerous endorsements, she had she was endorsed by Our Revolution, by Jim Hightower, by a lot of union and worker groups in the Austin area. And ultimately, I feel like it was that network of support from former Bernie delegates and former Bernie supporters that really gave her that substantial lead in the runoff. And so, you know, we were very pleased with the fact that she was able to win her race by a very high margin. And a lot of that she attributes to the fact that she had a lot of people helping, not just in Austin, but in other cities through phone banking and reaching out via social media, but as well as the help that she had in Austin with block walking and getting her name out there really made a big difference. So it's a really great win, and it's great to see that progressives are being welcomed into those types of elections to where their voice and vision are really needed. For those who are wanting to attend or have any questions about attending, you can purchase tickets at TX for Texas BernieReunion.eventbrite.com. And any questions regarding the reunion, if they want an agenda or have any specific things in mind, they can always reach out via email to Texas, that's TX BernieReunion@gmail.com. New Jim Crow.